Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. This is a special series sharing the Adaptable Playbook, a framework for success for your evangelism team. Together, we'll explore 11 proven steps that really work for cities across North America who want to raise the temperature of evangelism in their communities. We will hear from practitioners in these cities, humble leaders who have wrestled faithfully with the challenges these steps address. We hope you will leave these conversations encouraged and equipped to own the lostness of your city, one step at a time. To learn more about evangelism teams, the Adaptable Playbook, or what God is doing through collaborative evangelism efforts across North America, visit citygospelmovements.org. Today, we will hear from Steve and Patty Buss, leaders of One Hope Network in Eugene, Oregon. They lead a collaborative citywide effort to together seek the Lord through worship and prayer, together serve their community through partnerships, and together share the good news with their neighbors. Today, they will share about step four, determining a communication strategy for your e-team. In this step, you will create an e-team communication schedule, both internal communications with your e-team and external communication with different tiers of engaged parties. Engaged parties may include key leaders, pastors, partners, or broader city friends. Who should we be communicating with? For a team to function well, it must communicate well. Having a discussion around this now will bear enormous dividends as you go. Let's hear what this looks like in practice as we dive into today's conversation between Steve, Patty, and Chris.
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining another edition of our podcast series here around the Adaptable Playbook. And today could be argued, you know, it's kind of the joke, they're all really important, but I think this one is very important. The idea of communication, how are we actually communicating with our constituents, with our partners, even with donors and co-laborers, like the whole deal. How do we talk to each other and how important is this? I'm very excited to have Steve and Patty Buss on the podcast with us today, all the way from Eugene, Oregon. Beautiful place, by the way. I love Eugene. And Steve and Patty have been at this work for quite a while, launching the One Hope Network in 2008 and really walking faithfully, pulling the body of Christ together, doing this collaborative work. And it's grown and it's changed and different things have happened. But their ability to communicate well with their partners has been part of that longevity. So, Steve and Patty, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Great to be here, Chris.
Yeah, it's exciting. And I think what we want to communicate through the podcast on this topic is just how does that longevity and your fruitfulness in this space, where does communication fit into that story, right? Like, you guys have been doing this since 2008. You've grown in some ways and you've developed and you've added lots of partners. And like, how are those partners staying involved? Where does this discipline of good communication fit into the story for One Hope?
Well, I think obviously communication is very foundational on so many different levels. But for us and the way the Lord's wired us and our history here in our movement, I think all communication that we've been engaged with really begins with bringing leaders together and inviting them to communicate on a very simple but not always engaged level. Meaning, when we've brought pastors and ministry leaders together, especially at the beginning and then continuing on today, we invite literally those leaders to pair up, to simply share something personally that can be prayed for, something that in their ministry can be prayed for, and then they're communicating on that level, leader to leader, hopefully with a measure of vulnerability, and then with the idea, with the truth that we're going to talk to God together, and then they do. So that communication level, we're relating on how can we support one another? That's how we're communicating. And then not only one another, but we're going to go vertical right now. And so our communication is based on, if you will, taking a step to love very deliberately and taking a step to communicate with God together. And opening up the communication literally on that level is a foundational piece of how we lead and how our movement has progressed over the years.
Yeah. And you'd say, you know, initially you guys started with prayer summits, right? So you're gathering people to pray and you're pulling together different leaders. I know that was kind of on your heart, is like, how can we pull together the body of Christ in Eugene? And as you've done that, I mean, just a phenomenal way to say that, like you're communicating with each other and with God in these prayer summits. But then as that expands to mission in the city, expands to serving and then sharing. You guys have those initiatives, right, of kind of praying together, serving together, and sharing together as key cornerstones of your work. How did that communication with one another and with the Lord expand into those other areas? How did that ability to grow happen through your casting a vision and communicating that in such a way where people can get on board with you?
I think really one of the first positions that we hired was someone who could help with communication. And that was a really big deal. Someone who could really give time and attention. But with that, I think beginning to see our communication taking on this element of storytelling. What is God doing in the city? And always sharing that perspective of what is this united body of Christ partnering together with God in the city? What's happening? Began to be a place where we were able to share vision, where people might not always know, oh, this is what's happening. And not only the story of what God was doing, but how then they could be a part of it. Yeah, I mean, it took on a lot of forms, newsletters, emails, into digital, video, things like that.
And I think, too, just taking a half a step back, that referring to pastors communicating with each other and praying together, we do that not only in prayer summits, but we do that on a monthly basis. And so then not only did pastors pray for one another, but we always highlight what's happening in the community. And then pastors go back into prayer in different ways. We mix it up so that they together are praying for what's going on in our community. And so from there, we started taking some steps of outreach. We felt inspired because we're communicating with each other and the Lord that way. We were inspired to take a step of outreach, and we've done that in several ways. So as we started to do that, and we would step into, for example, partnering with schools, and then not only did we pray into that, but we gave financially into that, and we sent different churches to work together, and then the Lord shows up. So we took that step, and we see God and the community and us working together. Okay, now we're telling that story and how it impacted families, how it impacted principals and superintendents. And so we're communicating those stories based upon us sensing that direction from the Lord and moving out together.
I think the idea of story is so critical, because when you're doing a collaborative effort in a city like you guys are doing, it's a story that is going to either unify you or it's a story that we're not interested in. You know, it's like you watch a movie trailer and you're like, I'm not going to watch that movie. That looks terrible. You know, like I have no interest in going to see that. But when you start to say, hey, we want to pray and worship together, it's like that story is going to resonate with some people, right? That story is going to be like, man, I don't know what that is, but I'm going to go check it out, you know? And then, hey, we're actually going to serve the city together. We're actually going to share the good news of Christ together. As you guys have developed along those paths, you have to be able to tell that story in a compelling enough way that people are willing to take a swing at it. Like, maybe I will go to that movie, right? Like, maybe I will show up at that event and see what's going on. As you guys have done that over time, I think it's really interesting that one of your first hires was a communications person, because I think it's like you recognize somehow early on that if we don't tell this story well, we're not going to be successful in our mission, right? You mentioned newsletters and websites and all those pieces. Like, how's that evolved over time? And what happens when you've done that really well? And what happens when you haven't done that well?
This came to mind early on when we were first starting. We decided to go with this vision of having pastors share a 1-minute message on video, and we put it out on social media and we send it to the churches. We call it the One Hope Minute. And we ended up recording 35 of them, and we posted them on a weekly basis. And so we had different pastors, obviously from different streams of Christianity, sharing, and those pastors had to hone in on a 60-second message. But they would end every message by saying this: in Christ, we all share one hope, and we're joining together to show Jesus' love. So every video ended that way. And so that got some traction. That was what we were doing. What ended up happening was through the heart and the voice of many different pastors, we ended up communicating the value of the body of Christ in a community. And then that shared vision and message that it's all about Jesus, and we share this here. And so that was a communication strategy, if you will, that really helped us begin to get the word out so that the public and pastors and other leaders could see, hey, we are in Christ, we do share the space, and we agree on these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was an envisioning and I would say a net building tool, because people would say, oh, there's my pastor, there's that, and oh, we're in this together. It just kind of, you know, spread the net wide in terms of who we are in the city together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful, because then that's amazing, because you're actually not being the only storyteller, right? Like, there are other storytellers. Like, the story is actually bigger than Stephen Patty or one particular pastor. You're actually kind of saying, hey, this is a pretty big story. This is a story that encompasses all of us. And so all of us can tell this story. I mean, that's a remarkable path that you guys kind of found there, that vision to say, let's all share our vision of what this unity looks like in Eugene is pretty awesome. Have you guys had a moment where you kind of didn't do this well, right? Like, where you communicated in such a way that was off-putting or ineffective, or yeah, what comes to mind in your almost 20 years of serving in Eugene in this way?
Well, I'm sure there's several of those, but somehow I have blocked them out of memory. My goodness. Certainly there's been a few communication snafus and a few typos and emails and things of that nature.
Something we've had to work at is like separating one hope as a organization, like, oh, one hope, and really, oh, one hope's doing that, and that quote unquote organization, to really intentionally having to visualize and communicate who is one hope, because one hope is the body functioning together in unity. We're just sort of supporting that thing to happen, but helping people. So I would say that's been a work in progress all throughout the years, helping people see, oh, wait, this is if I'm in Christ, I have a spot in this, and I am this. It's not one hope is that group of just a little office of people doing things.
Right. And I think that's a tension probably for many movements. And mm-hmm. that's a really good point, and something that we struggle with all the time. Like, well, One Hope's doing that. Well, yeah, but when we do Project Hope, it's 60 churches and 40 businesses doing that. When we're doing One Church One Day, the prayer initiative, it's 50 plus churches that are working together. So it's not an organization. It's like God's graced us to set a collaborative table so that leaders discern and decide together that we're going to do this. And it's, even though we're setting the collaborative table and helping to be catalytic to move it forward, it's not us. It's together, leaders in the community pursuing God and then following his lead as best we can.
And I
together.
Think, yeah, in storytelling language, number one, it's making God the hero. Mm. But the secondary hero is the body of Christ. It's not an organization.
Right.
It's the followers of Christ together. And I think, yeah, that's some of that focus we've tried to.
Yeah, and we've worked hard on that with other video initiatives that we've done, with our newsletters, with the outreaches, with as we're able to see answers to prayer through One Church One Day, just obviously glorifying the Lord, really appreciating those people who are praying at 2 o'clock in the morning, or those people who are raising funds to buy shoes, and volunteers showing up to give backpacks away and paint kids' faces, that it's really us together, not one hope, which is, yeah, that tension.
You
right
hear
there,
that tension.
Yeah, well, I think that's a really critical principle here. It's like, what's the vision? What are the values? So that the things that we communicate are continuing to tell the same story. And you're not getting like a different, like, wait, I thought they did this, or I thought they did that. Like what you're saying is, I've heard you say it now 4 or 5 times, like, we had to work really hard at making sure we're saying this right, you know? Well, that implies you had some back, you know, some meetings, some back channel conversations around, hey, what is our view here? We actually don't want people to think of One Hope as, another org, but as the collaborative effort here in the city. Like, those are really intentional conversations that you guys have had to have. I've heard somebody say, you know, vision is like a bucket with holes. You have to keep pouring water into it because it'll empty pretty quick. And so you have to just keep communicating. Here's the vision. Here's the mission. Here's where we want to go. And if that's not clear, then it's kind of like, what are you communicating, right? I mean, what exactly is the story that we're telling? If it's a different story every time, it's going to be really hard to move the ball forward. So my question for you guys is, you know, we're targeting these collaborative evangelistic efforts, you know, through this podcast. So people working together to bring the good news to Seattle or whatever. What would you guys say? Well, it's kind of two questions. One is, how does that mission, vision, values play into good communication? And then secondly, if the mission, vision, values is the spreading of the gospel, how does that communication create those gospel opportunities?
The story of God moving in a community with a united people is big and broad and has chapter after chapter after chapter after scenario. And so it's going to be a multifaceted story. And there's going to be serendipitous things that come up that we want to share and tell. And if we aren't a connected people, we aren't going to even hear some of those stories. But as we hear them, it encourages, actually, I think, more gospel conversations. You know, when we start, because we're connected, because churches are functioning together, we'll hear something that's happening at one church that gets shared with, you know, a broader context, which then stirs, hey, that's so encouraging for us. This is something we could engage with. Or, you know, as we've shared the Overflow Hope videos, as we've filmed many testimonies locally, not in another city, but voices of local people sharing how God has changed their life. Those get shared around through other people, and those open up more doors of conversation. Or someone says, hey, I want to share mine. Hey, I could do my story. I think that's, I don't know if that's really answering your question, but I do think telling what God is doing in a city creates more connectivity of people doing things with God in the city. They're going to work, you know, with a little more awareness. You know, God's at work in my city. And so, and I actually am a part of it. Yeah. So I'm aware at the bank today where I'm working, and I'm aware at the school that I'm at. I think that's why we want to tell the story too. It really is a testimony. Communication's really all about testimony of what God's doing in our shared geography.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah. And just building on, you know, the Overflow Hope concept, the platform that together we've created with Overflow Hope is billboards with winsome Bible phrases that point to our social media and a website. And that website has the basic gospel apologetics. It's got all the testimony videos, and it has a linked list of local churches on an interactive map. So we've got that website. We've got billboards with winsome Bible phrases like, he's alive, or my peace I give you. So again, letting the word of God speak. So that's communication. That was part of our communication strategy, literally, was to infuse scripture on a billboard so that thousands of people can at least see the word of God. And we're praying into it too. So we got billboard, we've got website, and then we've got the videos themselves that not only are on the website, they go out on social media. And so to date, we're at about 63 videos coming from 31 different congregations in our community, and approaching 200,000 views overall, which isn't super viral, but we've been consistent in communicating, consistent in getting different voices. And as you look at the Overflow Hope testimonies, there's so many different types of people who are communicating so many different stories about how God has transformed their lives. And so it's been a consistent way that we've joined together as churches to actually speak the good news in a very unique way coming from individual stories. So that's just a little bit of clarity on what Overflow Hope is in our community.
And I would just add to that, Chris, you know, one of the things that's cool is like, for example, we just had a student who came here as an exchange student from another
Vietnam,
Buddhist background. And where he got planted and where he got enrolled in school, he doesn't know why, but it's a Christian high school. And anyway, here it is at the end of the year. And he, at the end of this year, we recently had a United Youth Worship and Prayer Night. During his year here, he gave his life to the Lord. He recently got baptized, and we're probably going to be filming his testimony. But when, see, his story gets shared, this happened in our city at a Christian school with a student coming into our community. So then that now becomes our shared story, right? Like, the churches are praying together. We're believing God's moving. We're hearing how God's moving. And everybody has a piece of that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, it is. So you're doing several things at once there. You're building hope and building faith within the body of Christ. I'm not alone. I'm not the only pastor sort of laboring. I'm not the only person in my workplace who's coming in here saying, "May your kingdom come and your will be done today." But you're also that kind of outreach bearing witness piece when Jesus says, in fact, I read it this morning in our little Bible study, you know, in Acts 1, where it's like, "Go and be my witnesses." And then he ascends. It's like literally the last thing he says, "Go and be my witnesses." Well, a witness is somebody who saw something. A witness is someone who has a testimony, is something to share. And so for you guys to use that personal testimony to communicate the gospel publicly, I mean, you got billboards and different, you know, sort of digital avenues of finding that and then building bridges to local churches. I mean, you guys have not done this on accident. I mean, this is a very intentional, very thoughtful, well-planned communication strategy is what you could call it. But of course, that doesn't sound very exciting. But when you share the story of this young man from Vietnam who found Jesus, it's like, that's pretty exciting. Like, we should tell people about this. We should go and share the good news. And it's like that Samaritan woman, "I'm going to go tell everybody there's somebody who knows everything about me and still loves me." You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty powerful. I mean, that's a pretty remarkable thing. Well, this is incredible. I think the communication strategy for those listening in, right? Like, if you guys haven't thought through that well, my guess is you might not have that mission values piece strong yet and how to communicate that. But that's a great challenge for us, right? Like, how are we going to do this? What's this going to look like in our city? What have we seen others do? Let's pray and discern. I love that language. I wrote it down. Let's discern and decide together what to do next. So thank you. This has been really great. I do encourage you guys to check out One Hope, and we'll have some stuff in the podcast notes that you can click on and find some of these great stories of hope and their website and just kind of see how they're organizing their communication strategy. But Steve and Patty, any last words of wisdom from you guys? And then I would love if you just maybe close us in a word of prayer. So a final thought from each of you, and then maybe you could just close us in prayer.
One thing that we did mention, and we're again, always in transformation mode, being changed by the Lord. But early on and for years, we decided, like, with mission and vision, values, that kind of thing, we tried to simplify the wording. And for years, we said, we're joining together to show Jesus love. And we had three objectives: together pray, together serve, and together share the good news. And so that's how we've broken down our communication, a vision and objectives, if you will. So in fewest terms, at least that was our attempt, we're saying, here's the vision and here's how we're doing it. And through repetition, that really gained traction over the years. And now we're looking at morphing that a little bit as well, but that's probably a different conversation. But so we're grateful to see what the Lord's done over the last several years. And we're just really desperate and desiring that he gives us fresh ways to keep on communicating and seeing the body of Christ work together to lift up Jesus.
Yeah, I think final word thought, really, even with Overflow Hope, not that this is how anybody else needs to do it, but probably for us, everything has stemmed from prayer. How you know, and it all has often taken time. It continues to grow and to morph, and you learn. But I would say, as far as communication goes, also, it's when you're doing this kind of work, you are really in a place, I'm going to say, to help the body see. This is a prophetic spot also. You're trumpeting the good work God's doing in the city. And so the best way for us to see is honestly to be prayerful and watchful. Jesus said, watch and pray. And so as we've been doing that, and then we see and follow, and then share, because this workspace, you have a spot of seeing things from a helicopter view that not every local church is seeing. Like, they're busy right in their spot, but you're helping see the collective whole. I think it gives everybody so much more faith and moves them into their spot even more fully.
Yeah, it's really good. That's beautiful. I think you're pointing at something really important, which is like, when you're communicating, you're actually communicating to a lot of different audiences at once, you know? You're really hitting a lot of things at once, and you don't know how the Holy Spirit will use all of that. So let's stay tight in our communication to the source of life, so that as we communicate other things, we're at least in line with what the Holy Spirit is doing. Like, if nothing else, it's like, and maybe there is nothing else, right? Apart from the vine, you can do nothing is pretty powerful. So I love that. That's a great, great reminder. Well, yeah, why don't you just pray a word of blessing over our e-teams and those people who are doing this collaborative work. And thank you guys so much for jumping on the podcast today.
Been great to be with
you. Yeah, good to be with you. I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
Lord, thank you for our friends that are linked arms in the gospel across this country and in their place of calling, geography you've called them to. Any who would be listening today, Lord, I pray that they would be encouraged by the Holy Spirit today. They'd be encouraged as they abide in you. They'd be encouraged to pursue you, that you are the God of communication. You talk to us, you lead us, you shepherd us, you light the path. And so, Lord, today we bless them. We bless everyone who's working in the city space to see your kingdom come in their community, that they would know every prayer they're praying in alignment with your heart, you want to answer. So encourage them today in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I ask that you would infuse our friends across the nation and the world. You would infuse them with fresh communication. Lord, that you would give them the wisdom and the way that you are giving them to communicate, and that you would unite your people, that you would activate and mobilize your people into working well together long term.
Yeah.
And so, Father, pour out your Spirit in those ways. Thank you that we get to partner and learn from one another so that we together can share the good news in the communities where you've called us. We're grateful to do this, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
What an encouraging conversation. To learn more about the resources shared in this podcast or to download the Adaptable Playbook, check out citygospelmovements.org. You can also learn more about One Hope Network and Overflow Hope at onehopenetwork.org. Join us next time for a conversation with a city leader with deep insight on step 5, executing a listening tour.